It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, we are continuing our series on the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. We are learning through this book of Revelation three main themes. The first theme that we are learning is that the first law of interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. The second theme we are learning in the book of Revelation is that the book of Revelation has an abundance of symbolic language. But in this symbolic language, there is always a literal meaning. This helps us in our studies, as this prevents individuals from adding their opinions, from adding their suppositions, or from adding their traditions into their interpretation process. The third theme that we are learning throughout the book of Revelation is that God is not using man-made devices in his judgment during the great tribulation. God will not use man-made devices. God will not use nuclear bombs during the great tribulation. For scriptures teach that we shall inhabit the earth during the millennial reign after Armageddon for 1,000 years. The earth is therefore habitable during that time and not subject to nuclear fallout. Instead, God is using supernatural phenomenon, supernatural weather, in order to judge the world. He is using hurricanes off the scale of measurement, tornadoes off the scale of measurement, mega earthquakes that cannot be measured, volcanoes, and fissures that open up the earth's crust and spew out molten lava, and gigantic fiery boulders that pummel the earth. God uses gigantic hailstones. He uses tidal waves and tsunamis, floods, global fires, and such like to judge the world during the great tribulation. Revelation chapter 14 speaks of a parenthetical insertion in between the seventh trumpet and the first vial or bowl judgments. This is a picture of what is happening in heaven in between the seventh trumpet and the first vial or bowl judgments. This is similar to chapter 7 in the book of Revelation, which was another parenthetical insertion of what is going on in between the sixth and seventh seal, and chapter 10 of the book of Revelation, which gives us a picture of what is going on in between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Chapter 14 of the book of Revelation is a host of angelic announcements throughout the world, announcements on salvation, warnings of the great Armageddon to come, loving warnings from the Lord, giving the world a heads up to repent before the great judgment continues. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 1. And I heard, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. This is another picture of the 144,000 sealed Jews, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, as pictured and stated in chapter 7, verses 3 through 4. The Lamb in verse 1 speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, as John the Baptist in John chapter 1 said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Verse 2 through 3. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Verse 2 speaks of a mighty voice as many waters of great thunder. This is the voice of the 144,000 in multitude, and this is similar to the thunderous voice of multitude of the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as found in chapter 19, verse 6, which states, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." These mighty voices speak in unison, speak with great thunder, as a message that all should hear. The harps in verse number 2 speak of a symbol of joy, everlasting joy in the presence of the Lord. Verse number 3 speaks of a new song that they are going to sing. Only the redeemed can sing a new song. Only those that are born again can sing a new song. Only those that are regenerated can sing a new song. For the scriptures teach, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. These new songs are only sung by those with a new heart, for without a new heart, an individual only sings the old songs. Verse 3 speaks of this song being only known by the 144,000, and this speaks to a song of dispensation, that during each period on God's biblical calendar, individuals from certain dispensations have a certain song. Individuals during each era or time frame on God's biblical calendar have a specific song to be sung during that specific dispensation. The elders in verse 4 speak of the redeemed, the believers, those Old Testament and New Testament believers, as spoken of in chapter 4 and chapter 5. These four beasts are the same four beasts that give God glory in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Verses 4 through 5. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Here these scriptures are speaking of a celebration. They are celebrating these 144,000 as their mission is coming to an end, and as the last of the great tribulation is culminating, they are celebrating their redemption. They're celebrating the fact that they follow the Lamb, celebrating the fact that they were faithful to the end. Verse number 4, saying that they were not defiled with women. This is not speaking to a specific doctrine in a church where individuals must be virgins to serve the Lord. This is speaking to their faithfulness in the Lord, how they were faithful to Him to the end. And it speaks to us to keep ourselves faithful to the Lord, and that the world, in contrast, does not keep themselves faithful, and their life is evident as they live out a life of infidelity. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Acts chapter 15 gives us this message of keeping ourselves in verse number 29. Scripture says, "That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well." This message of these 144,000 not being defiled, keeping themselves as virgins is a message of faithfulness that they had and a message to us to keep ourselves faithful to the end, knowing that sex outside of marriage is a sign of unfaithfulness to the Lord. Verse 4 speaks of them following the Lord. This speaks of discipleship. This speaks of a message to us, the same message that Jesus spoke of when he said in the book of Matthew chapter 16, if any man will come after me or follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. These 144,000 follow the Lord, and we should also follow the Lord in loving trust and faithfulness out of love for the Lord that saved us and washed us and cleansed us and gave us everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Verse number 5 speaks of their mouth was found no guile. The tongue is an indication of what is in the heart. Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Jesus gave this picture when he met Nathanael in the book of John chapter 1 and said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 gives us encouragement in the same way, which says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. These 144,000 give us an example of faithfulness to the Lord with their conduct, keeping themselves as virgins in their walk with the Lord as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and in their speech as in their mouth was found no guile. And this message is a message to us today. Verses 6 through 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Here we have a loving plea from the Lord on behalf of an angel. We as Christians were given the great commission to go ye out into all nations, teaching those in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and making disciples. But here God indicates and shows and demonstrates his love for the world on such a scale that he even sends an angel to preach the everlasting gospel to the world. This loving plea is in addition to the 144,000 that are spreading out as missionaries and emissaries across the world during the Great Tribulation. This is in addition to the two witnesses that are sent that perform miracles and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is doing all that he can above all that mankind deserves to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ, even sending an angel to preach the everlasting gospel throughout the world. This angel is giving forewarning of the great tribulation that's coming and continuing, and at the same time giving an altar call to the world to come and worship and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. This same love is similar to the days of Noah, that a warning was given that the world will be destroyed with a flood and that safety can be found inside the Ark of Noah, and all are welcome to come. This same message has been continuing for thousands of years in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that individuals can be saved and forgiven from their sins and not die in their sins and receive everlasting life in Christ. And here the message continues that there is salvation during the Great Tribulation if individuals come and believe on God through Jesus Christ. Verse number 8 says, And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Here is a picture of the city of Babylon that is about to be judged and that is fallen. This city of Babylon represents the demonic hub of all evil, the demonic headquarters of all spiritual evil from the devil that came into the world, into society, through different cultures, through different races, through different heritages. When the devil was cast down in the beginning, he deceived Adam and Eve, and they fell, and the devil became a pseudo ruler of this world, a false ruler of this world for a season, called the prince of the power of the air in the book of Ephesians. Jesus calls him the prince of this world, and he established a city called Babylon in the beginning, the book of Genesis, and established a leader called Nimrod. And through that city, through that leader, through that culture, was handed down all the demonic forces of evil. Through Babylon came all the demonic names of evil that were handed down through the centuries and millennia of time with just new names. The Babylonian false gods were given Roman names during the Roman times. The Babylonian gods were given Greek names during the Greek times, and passed on from culture to culture and from country to country. This city of Babylon represents spiritual fornication. It represents individuals partaking in the world instead of partaking in the things of Christ. James chapter 4 says, if any man be a friend of the world, he is an enemy with God. John said in the book of 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This world is carnal. This world is sensual. This world is of the devil's influence in the form of Babylon, and it's acted out in spiritual fornication as individuals love the things of the world more than the things of God. Chapter 17 and chapter 18 gives full detail on Babylon. Verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is an indication where God is sending another angel out to proclaim the doom of those that worship the Antichrist. It is true that individuals can be saved by professing the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But here the angel proclaims that if any man take the mark of the beast, worship his image, these individuals shall suffer the wrath of God in judgment. Individuals will still be alive, but they will not be able to be saved. Individuals will have breath in their body, but will be beyond redemption because they've given themselves over to the beast. They've pledged allegiance to the beast by taking the physical mark in their forehead or in their hand. And this mark this etch in the literal Greek is a physical mark, an implant that causes them to pledge allegiance to the beast, to the beast system, to this world itself. Verse 10 speaks of the cup of his indignation. This speaks of his righteous judgment, his just judgment, that God does not make a mistake, and his righteous anger is being poured out for those that reject the love of God through Jesus Christ. Verse 11 speaks of the everlasting judgment, speaks of the eternity of judgment. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, that those that reject the Lord shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal. Individuals that receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will have everlasting joy, everlasting peace, everlasting love, everlasting comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that reject the love of God through Jesus Christ, those that accept the Antichrist, those that fall in love with this world and reject the Lord will have everlasting torment, everlasting suffering, everlasting punishment, everlasting agony that's unceasing and constant. The end for all individuals is the same. There is immortality in death. But will individuals accept the eternal joy of eternal life in Christ, or the eternal torment for rejecting Christ and accepting the Antichrist? Verses 12 through 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Verse number 12 speaks of the endurance of the saints through tribulation. The same can be encouragement for us in our day as we endure trials and tribulations. Jesus said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Patience as we keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 speaks of a blessing for those that do endure. Scripture teaches, great is your reward in the kingdom of God. Scripture teaches that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And here the Holy Spirit himself proclaims that rest from our labors is coming to us. The Holy Spirit, the third person in the divine Trinity, has a ministry just as the Lord and just as God Almighty himself. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 gives us encouragement on how Philip was Spirit-led to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts 8:29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. The Holy Spirit pricks and convicts, leads and guides. The Holy Spirit illuminates and enlightens and pricks individuals to turn from their wicked ways and to bow their knee and give their life to Christ. Scripture teaches, wherefore, when the Holy Ghost speaketh, harden not your heart. The Holy Spirit is drawing individuals to the Lord with the Lord's loving kindness. Verses 14 through 16. And I heard, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Here, Scripture is teaching on a precursor announcement to the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon will be a time of reaping for the Lord, a time of harvest for the Lord, a time of judgment for the Lord. This white cloud in verse 14 15 speaks of God's presence in judgment. Jesus, as the Son of Man, sitting on the cloud and wearing a golden crown, which speaks of rulership, kingship, royalty, and His divine presence. In His hand, a sickle, which is symbolic of judgment. Joel chapter 3, verse 13 gives us this interpretation. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. The book of Joel, speaking on the day of the Lord, similar to the day of the Lord during the great tribulation. There will be a time of great judgment during the great tribulation, culminating in the battle of Armageddon. This symbol of sowing and reaping applies to us today. Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, be sure your sins will find you out. God gives us warning through the Scriptures and through the Holy Spirit that we shall reap what we sow. And here, that is a precursor to encourage individuals to repent and bow their knee to the Lord and receive forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the same thing is being spoken on a global scale as a warning of judgment to come is being spoken by the angel as Armageddon will be a great time of reaping in the Lord's judgment. And before that time comes, individuals who hear this message from the angel should bow their knee in repentance and give their life to the Lord. Verses 17 through 20. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle from the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Here, Scripture once again is declaring that the angel is giving forewarning of the harvest of reaping judgment before Armageddon. Here, Scripture teaches in verse 18 that this altar symbolizes sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice of blood. The fire speaks of judgment. The sickle in verse 18 and 17 again speaks of judgment. These grapes being harvested speaks of blood, speaks of death, speaks of catastrophe. It speaks of a world that, as a result of not repenting and not turning to the Lord, but instead turning to the Antichrist and turning to the world for deliverance, will suffer the bloodbath of judgment. This is symbolically confirmed as blood came out of the winepress in verse number 20 by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This is the exact length of the nation of Israel. And this is speaking symbolically of the bloodbath judgment to come. And the battle of Armageddon will be a bloodbath that will be beyond imagination. Ezekiel chapter 39 verses 17 through 18 gives us a picture of this particular judgment. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, and all them fatlings of Bashan. The book of Ezekiel here in these particular verses giving a picture of the battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 19 underscores the same principle. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Great. Scripture teaches that 5/6 of the population of the world will be destroyed, that billions upon billions are going to die during the Great Tribulation. Scripture teaches that it will take 7 months to bury the dead, and God, in His loving grace, is giving forewarning for all to hear through this angel that proclaims that judgment is coming, and that the only opportunity to be delivered from this bloodbath judgment is to bow their knee and give their life to Christ and receive the love of God through Jesus Christ. This is Revelation chapter 14. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.